Welcome to the Mind and My Wellness podcast, your podcast for all things macros, movement, mindset, and everything in between. I'm your host, Dani Marienberg, an ex-yo-yo dieting cardio junkie turned sustainable nutrition coach who's helped over 1,000 women feel confident in their skin by learning how to eat for their goals without sacrificing a life well lived. I created the Mind and My Wellness podcast to give you simple, effective, and manageable tips you can take away from each episode and implement in your daily life to look and feel like the best version of you. Each week, my guests and I teach you the secrets to mastering your health and owning your power. Nutrition, mindset, movement, and women's health are all topics you'll find here. Think of our time together as your productive little health break from the day. So grab your headphones, fill up your water, and let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Mind and My Wellness podcast. I'm so excited to have you here, whether you are a new listener or you have been binging all of these episodes. I am just so glad you're here. I'm Dani, I'm your host, and today I am, almost 17 weeks pregnant, and this entire pregnancy, I have not had any caffeine. And then all of a sudden, I started like getting over these aversions I was having. And I wasn't already a big caffeine drinker, but I love my matcha lattes and my chagachinos. If you haven't had a chagachino before, I feel like they're very hit or miss with people. I absolutely love them, but I get them decaf. And I finally went and got one this morning, and it's completely decaf. But because I've had 0 ounces of caffeine in my body, I feel like I am on a rocket ship to space today. So it is a very productive day, and I'm really excited to dive into this episode with you today because it is one that, as we start to approach summer, I get a lot of messages and emails around. And first off, I cannot believe that it's already April. Like, this year is a quarter of the year done already, which just blows my mind how time flies so fast. But with it being April, that means that summer is just around the corner. And this is the time of year when I get flooded with women looking for support leading into summer, whether it's, you know, looking for fat loss because they're going on a trip or there's a wedding or event, or maybe, you know, they're just going to be out by the pool more and they just want to look and feel confident and they want to look and feel their best. Whatever that reason is, it's a great time to start planning for that deficit phase. And it is a huge miss if you start too late. Sometimes when I see applications come in for my macro coaching program, the Macro Accelerator, I will see somebody say that they want to lose 30 pounds by summer. And maybe, you know, summer is quote unquote like 2 months away. And the truth is that is not sustainable, nor is it healthy to lose that much weight in 1 to 2 months. Now, it is extremely possible to lose that much weight, but in order to lose that weight in a healthy way and not actually see it come back, along with not harming your hormone health, your gut health, your thyroid, it is very important that we are prioritizing nutrition periodization. And if you've listened to this podcast or you've listened to me on Instagram, you probably have heard me talk about nutrition periodization too many times to count. But if you have no idea what nutrition periodization is, this is an amazing opportunity for you because this will really change the game in your past dieting experience. It will change the game for the future in terms of actually seeing the body changes you want that last. No more yo-yo dieting, right? We want to get rid of yo-yo dieting. I was there once too, where I was jumping from diet to diet to diet. Nothing would work long-term. Maybe I would lose weight and then I'd gain it back. And it was like every year at this time, I was just constantly looking for the next diet that would be that golden ticket to get me the body that I wanted, yet everything would just come right back. And it wasn't until I really understood macronutrients, until I understood nutrition periodization and how to marry a lifestyle with that, where I saw my entire body recomposition change. But that wasn't even the best part. It was the energy. It was the quality of sleep I was getting. It was just the overall change in my demeanor where I just felt much happier and I felt less stressed. It was just this huge change across the board that was a result of focusing on how to actually eat and plan my year accordingly to see these results. And so the approach that I use is one that's going to support your metabolic health. It's going to support your hormone health, your gut health, and longevity. And we need all of these things working together to see these lifelong results. You cannot try to fight any of these pieces and expect to see results that are going to last, or even results that you're going to be happy with. Even if you're, let's just say you're not even concerned about them lasting, you just want to lose weight for a specific event or date, you are not going to get there efficiently and effectively, nor are you going to feel good doing it in a way that is not working with your metabolism, your hormones, your gut, and really focusing on everything holistically. So all of the approaches I take, whether that's within my coaching program, my courses, even the individual macro counts that I provide, if you're looking for custom plans, all of these focus on prioritizing everything working together to see your most efficient and effective results. So this is why it is so important to plan for any fat loss that you want to achieve in an appropriate manner. So today's episode, we're going to be diving into exactly how I would go about reducing body fat going into summer. If I wanted to lose 10 pounds by summer, it's the beginning of April now. Let's just say summer's June. I have 2 months. If I want to lose 10 pounds in those 2 months, this episode is going to take you through exactly what I would and would not do. But this title of this episode may be a little bit misleading because for some, 10 pounds by summer won't be possible, nor is it actually the weight amount that you really care about, but I'll dive into more of this later. So in this episode today, we're going to talk about the difference between weight loss and fat loss because it's an extremely important difference to really differentiate what sustainable fat loss actually looks like to help you plan accordingly leading into summer. Why those fast crash diets don't work long term and why you should really avoid them, and then what you should do instead. And I'm going to cover those steps in terms of exactly what I would do to reduce body fat going into summer starting today. So first things first, I really want to cover the difference between weight loss and fat loss. And if you are an avid listener of this podcast, you've probably already heard this episode. I dive into this strictly in an episode because it is so important to really understand the difference between the two. And we use the terms interchangeably, weight loss, you know, I want to lose weight, you know, I want to lose fat. But the truth is you probably don't want to lose weight in and of itself because weight, sure, it encompasses body fat, but it encompasses muscle as well as water weight as well. With fat loss, this is really what we want to be focusing on, right? We want to be preserving that muscle. We want to be strictly targeting body fat in the body to reduce that body fat and expose the muscle for that more lean toned physique, those terms that are constantly used in this industry, right? So there is a big difference between weight loss and fat loss. I want to encourage you to really understand what it is that you're looking for. My guess is that you probably don't want weight loss in and of itself. And this is when it comes down to really focusing on the scale and setting those expectations of what realistic fat loss looks like, especially if we are using the scale, which leads me into my next point in what sustainable and realistic fat loss actually looks like. So if we're focusing on reducing body fat and not focusing on weight loss because we don't want to lose muscle mass, if we're focusing on body fat and reducing that body fat, what does this realistically look like for most women? And realistically, if you're using the body weight scale, which is my least favorite way to measure success, and I have a whole episode on this, but it's my least favorite way to measure success because there's so much that goes into that number. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. But If you're using the scale, you should be seeing a reduction in body weight from anywhere from half a pound to upwards of 2 pounds per week. Usually what I see is a half a pound to 1.5 pounds per week. And I want to caveat this by saying everybody's body is uniquely different. We are bio-individual, meaning that just because this is an average doesn't mean you will see this every single week, nor for some will they see that in the first week or maybe even in the second week. It is very common to go 3 weeks into a deficit and really not see too much change on the scale. That does not mean that you are not making progress. And I totally get this because I remember the first deficit I went into, it was 4 weeks before I even saw any change on the scale. But I was determined to give this its fair shot, and I'm so glad I did. And here I am years later, now coaching this to hundreds of other women. So realistic fat loss, it's going to look individual for every single person. So for some, they will see that immediate reduction on the scale. For others, it will take a few weeks. Again, that does not mean it's not working. That means that your body is finding that equilibrium to really prioritize muscle mass and reduce overall body fat. So realistic fat loss, if you're using the scale, is going to look like a half a pound to 2 pounds per week. Now, when we focus on looking at those numbers with the scale, what I want you to use is your weekly average weight. This does not mean we're looking at day over day weight fluctuations because, especially as women, we are going to fluctuate daily, depending on the time of the month, depending on how much sleep we got, what the stress level of that day was. If we ate a more carb-heavy dinner later in the day, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that you're retaining a bit more water, which is a natural body process. All of these things are just part of our physiology. And so I always recommend looking at your weekly average weight. So if you're weighing in throughout the week, take an average of those weigh-ins, and that's your weekly average weight. And that's what you're going to be looking at week over week over week to really gauge progress. However, as I've said, this is my least favorite way to measure success. It is one tool. The other tools, preferably, I actually like better, and that is looking at body measurements as well as taking photos. More often than not, the women I work with, we're seeing more progress in terms of body measurements and photos over the course of time than we do with the scale. And again, that's because we're looking at fat loss versus weight loss, right? If you have a very weight loss focused mind, you want to see the scale dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. But if you have a very fat loss focused mind, you're not necessarily going to see those huge drops on the scale every single week. But that does not mean you're not making progress. And again, this is why body measurements can be such an amazing tool to gauge success because you can still see those inches being dropped. And so I highly recommend looking at your weekly average weight, body measurements, and then taking those photos throughout the time that you are in your deficit. So this leads me into crash diets and why they don't work. And they might work for you in the short term, but they're not going to work for you in the long term. And my guess is you're listening to this because if you're anything like me, like I said at the beginning, you have jumped from those diets to diets to diets, and maybe they've worked for short term, but you're right back to where you started, right? And you really want to see the work that you're putting in, the effort that you're putting in lasting for the years to come versus having to be in the same spot every single year, racking your brain, what's the next best thing to jump onto to actually see results? And this is where marketing comes into play, everybody. I was actually talking to someone the other week about, it was a man, and he was asking me about my opinions on the carnivore diet. And my thoughts on any extreme diet is that it is a great marketing tactic because it will attract people in if they think it is a golden ticket. If it is something extreme and they're like, oh my gosh, this is the new thing, this is going to get me to X results, this is marketing. And it is very sad that a lot of the dieting industry is around marketing and has been around marketing this aesthetic through these very niche programs versus what is actually going to move the needle long term. And it's not sexy, you guys. It's not sexy, but it's that nutrition periodization. It's eating to support your metabolism. It's incorporating thoughtful exercise, meaning that you're not overdoing exercise. We do not need to be doing hours and hours and hours of HIIT cardio or cardio in general every single week to see results. It's about being strategic with your exercise, but it's about really more than anything, your lifestyle habits. So if I had to prioritize it, it's nutrition, lifestyle habits, exercise. And there's a reason for that. It's actually how our body uses energy and converts that and uses that in terms of like, how are we actually burning calories and maintaining muscle? So nutrition is going to be the key to it all. But then it's really having that lifestyle that's going to support those changes that you want. So when it comes to these crash diets, more often than not, they're not sustainable, meaning that sure, maybe you can do them for 2 weeks or 30 days or 2 months, but in the long run, it's not something that you can maintain and keep up with. And if it's not something that you can maintain and keep up with, your results aren't going to be maintainable and they're not going to be able to sustain long term. So it ain't sexy, but the truth of the matter is when it comes down to understanding how nutrition periodization comes into play, how to eat, how your specific macro ranges work together to support the goals that you have and how they change over time. It's really important to understand that and then pair a lifestyle that's going to support those. And it doesn't have to be anything drastic. You don't have to go from zero to 100. It's just taking those small steps every single day to build this lifestyle that makes you feel good and then keeps those results around. So this is where those crash diets really don't work, and they are not prioritizing your metabolic health. They're not prioritizing your hormone health. They're not prioritizing your gut health and longevity. And again, these are the things that we really want to focus on because everything is working together. Without one, you're not going to have the other. Without proper hormone regulation and gut health, you're going to really struggle maintaining any sort of result that you get or seeing results in the first place. So this is again why I so badly just want everyone to understand how to eat to support their goals. Eating more is not a bad thing. For most women that I've worked with, they actually need to be eating a little bit more. And I shared yesterday on my story, I had somebody DM me. They bought a custom macro plan from me and they sent me a DM back in November. And they were like, okay, I got your plan. It's for a deficit. It's 1600 calories. It was like 1610 calories. And I'm currently eating 1400 calories. I don't know if I feel comfortable eating 1600 calories wanting to lose weight. And I was like, please just trust this and try it. Try it for 4 weeks. And then, you know, check back in with me, send me a DM. And, you know, a couple months go by and 2 days ago, I get a DM and it's from her. And she's like, this is the best I've ever looked and felt. And I feel so fueled. And it just brings me so much joy when people start to realize, and it kind of clicks, because I had that moment when it clicked for me. And I was like, I will never go back. I will never go back to going through these crash diets, to going through eating low calorie when that's actually doing more harm than good. So anyway, I share that story to tell you that oftentimes eating less is not more. Eating less won't actually get you to the results that you're looking for. However, yes, if you are in a primed and ready spot with your metabolism to enter a deficit, that is where we want to go to experience fat loss. So now let's actually dive into the meat and potatoes of this episode and really talk through what I would do step by step to experience lasting fat loss and to really kickstart this fat loss journey going into summer. First, if any of this is very interesting to you, I highly recommend taking my free training. You can find it at mindandmymacros.com/masterclass. I will also link it down in the show notes. But this free training is going to take you even deeper step by step, whether you are brand new to macros or you are a macro vet and you've been using macros forever. It's going to really break down how to use macros for you and then what nutrition periodization is and how you should really be focusing on improving your metabolism to see your best results. So highly recommend, first things first, checking out that free training because it's going to help you understand if your body is even in a place where it's ready to enter a calorie deficit. I also do have a free quiz that if you've taken my free training, you can take this free quiz. And the quiz is just a couple questions and it's going to tell you, yes, you are ready for a calorie deficit, or it's going to recommend the phase that I recommend that you actually start in based off of a couple things, but it's really going to help you identify the best starting point for you. So I'll link the quiz down in the show notes as well. This quiz is, I mean, it takes 2 minutes and it's going to help you identify like, okay, cool, I am ready for a deficit, or maybe I need to focus on these other areas. So I'll link both of those down in the show notes for you. But number one is, again, if you are primed and ready to enter a calorie deficit, not everyone is going to be ready to enter a calorie deficit. And this really comes down to your metabolic health and your dieting history and your hormones and all of that. So if you are ready to enter a calorie deficit, then I would slightly reduce your calories into a deficit while continuing to prioritize your protein. And this is really where that difference between weight loss and fat loss comes in. That prioritization of protein plus not dropping too low in calories is going to help to preserve that muscle mass while strictly targeting body fat. And so it's really important that we're not just slashing our calories and eating as low as possible to see results, because that's not going to get you to the results that you're looking for. We just need to cut back slightly to actually get to that point where your body's going to start to reduce the body fat but maintain muscle. If we're pulling back too low in terms of calories, your body is going to start deteriorating that muscle as well and doing more harm than good to your thyroid, hormones, all of that. So we want to make sure that we're prioritizing your calories while in a deficit, while also prioritizing protein as like a primary macronutrient there. So if I were to enter a deficit, which obviously I'm not, I am 17 weeks pregnant right now. So if I were to enter a deficit, I would probably be there for anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks if I wanted to lose 10 pounds. And this, what I'm doing here to kind of guesstimate the amount of time I would be in this deficit, I would take my current weight, I would take where I'm, you know, if I want to lose 10 pounds, and then I'd take those averages that I shared before, a half a pound to 1.5 pounds per week, and kind of guesstimate how long it would take me to get to that 10 pounds. Now, again, I said this earlier, and I want to dive into it a little bit deeper. You may feel like you want to lose 10 pounds, but the reality is when we're preserving muscle mass, your ideal body is probably going to weigh a little bit more than you expect that it will. So I oftentimes like to recommend not going in with a specific goal weight, but really going in with the expectation, like, I want to reduce body fat and I want to get to this point where I look and feel like really confident. And maybe it's a little bit more than the number on the scale. And most likely it will be a little bit more than that number on the scale that you're aiming for. I know for me, I had a very specific number in terms of weight. And now that is so arbitrary, because if I get to that number now, I know it's because I'm losing muscle, and I sure as heck don't want to be losing muscle. I want to look lean and toned, right? I hope you're loving today's episode. I wanted to quickly interrupt to share with you something that I only wish I knew years ago on my health journey that changed everything for me. I was the girl who had tried every diet under the sun, worked out 7 days a week, yet was constantly left feeling disappointed that all my hard work and time wasn't paying off. Can you relate? If the answer is yes, then my free training, 3 Steps to Transform Your Body with Macros, is just for you. In this training, I share the secrets to leveraging your metabolism to lose fat without restriction, eliminating the foods you love, or sacrificing a life well lived. So if you're ready to say so long to yo-yo dieting and kick low-calorie diets to the curb, you're not going to want to miss this free training. Head on over to mindedmymacros.com/free training to register today. Or you can head on over to my show notes to find the link. I hope to see you there. All right, now back to the episode. So going back to this recommendation, I would enter a deficit. It would be a strategic deficit. It wouldn't be too low. I'd be prioritizing my protein, and I'd be here for about probably anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks to achieve that 10-pound range. And so that would lead me into summer. Next, I would really focus on prioritizing my biofeedback and really making sure that I am paying attention to all of the signs and then adjusting my nutrition accordingly. So biofeedback, these are things like negative biofeedback are signs like you're getting constant headaches, you're really irritable, you're constantly thinking about food, your energy is super low, you're very fatigued, you want to go to bed early, you just want to call it a day, you're having a really tough time recovering from your workouts. These are signs that your calories are too low. These are all signs of negative biofeedback that either your calories are too low or it's time to move out of a deficit. Paying attention to these biofeedback signs, this is not a sign of weakness. This is not a sign of, oh, I need to just like push through these biofeedback signs. No, these are signs from your body. These are red flags saying, hey, something's not right. And if we keep going down this path, we are going to lead to burnout. We are going to lead to hormonal issues. We are going to trigger body processes or lack thereof that are going to support us. So it's actually going to backfire. So these red flags of negative biofeedback are there to support us. So if you notice any biofeedback, negative biofeedback, it's really important that you, even if you just increase your calories by 50 to 100 calories, it's really important that you do that and then assess again. And maybe those biofeedback signals disappear. Or maybe it's like, hey, we need to get back up to maintenance. We need to get out of this deficit. And that is okay too. So pay close attention to those signs of negative biofeedback. At the very beginning, it is most likely that you've entered too far into a deficit if you are experiencing those. And then maybe towards the end of your deficit, let's say I wanted to do an 8-week deficit, an 8-week cut. Maybe it's like 6.5 weeks in, I start to experience these negative signs of biofeedback. I'd probably start to initiate a reverse diet from there. Then what I would do in this phase is my general rule of thumb at maintenance is 80-20, 80-20 rule. So 80% of my foods are coming from whole foods, nutrient-dense foods. They're fibrous foods when I'm focusing on carbs. And then the 10% are those fun foods. Those are the foods that lead to flexibility and sustainability for me. These are, you know, my Sunday morning croissants and, you know, whatever it is that I want. But when I'm in a deficit, I want to be a little bit more strict because, again, we want in and out. We do not want to be here for an extended period of time. We want to see our best results. And you can absolutely do that with an 80-20 perspective and approach. But I like to turn it up a notch. If I'm like, this is only 8 weeks, I'm going to focus on a 90-10. And more often than not, I'm going to be planning all of my meals. I'm going to be pre-logging in my food tracking app, meaning that I'm planning out my day ahead of time, putting in all my foods so I know exactly what I need to eat to hit those goals. Do you have to do that? Absolutely not. But if I'm taking a very strict macro approach, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to be focusing a little bit more on those whole foods. And it's not just because they're whole foods. There's actually a science behind it. And it is the thermic effect of food. And whole foods are going to have a higher thermic effect, just as protein is going to have a higher thermic effect in the body, meaning that throughout the digestive process, it's going to actually help burn more calories than those processed foods. Processed foods are already somewhat broken down, doesn't require your body as much energy. There's not as much nutrient density in those processed foods most of the time that the thermic effect is going to be a lot lower. And some of those calories are not going to be put to use in terms of like fiber and protein synthesis and things like of that nature. So focusing more on a 90-10 approach when in a deficit is something that I like to do. Again, you can still focus on an 80-20. That's completely fine too. But I typically like to focus on 90-10 if I know I'm going in and out, you know, 8 weeks, let's just get in, get out. Also, being extremely accurate with your tracking. So making sure, like I said, I'm pre-logging my days out. I am making sure that any bites, licks, and tastes, any little snacks, I'm accounting for. Those just, you know, they don't just not count. Everything that you're consuming counts. And so if you're accurately tracking, if you're really focusing on macro tracking, make sure that you are accurately tracking everything and you're being honest and consistent with your tracking. Now, if you're not tracking, which again, tracking is just a tool. It's just a tool. I think it's a very effective tool, but it's not a tool for everybody. But what I recommend doing if you're not tracking is just pay attention to overall serving size amounts and really how you're building your plate and making sure that you're building them, you know, very consistently and accurately throughout this dieting period. The next thing I would do is not nutrition-based. This is increasing my daily movement. So a great goal to have is, all right, let's aim for 10,000 steps a day. It is a pretty arbitrary number, but a lot of studies do show that at about 8,000 steps is a really great goal to have to maintain a healthy metabolism. But for a lot of us who have very sedentary jobs, we don't move a lot throughout the day, we might only be getting, you know, on average 4,000 steps a day right now. So my goal for you is to, A, if you can get to 10,000 steps a day, amazing. Let's make that your goal. But if you're averaging 4,000 steps a day, I'm not going to tell you, let's try to get 10,000 steps. Because to be honest, that's probably not realistic unless you really make some big changes in your lifestyle to say, okay, you know what? In the mornings, I'm going to get up. I'm going to take a long walk. In the evenings, when I get home, I'm going to take a long walk. If you are averaging 4,000 steps right now or anywhere around there, I would say just aim to add 2 to 3,000 more steps a day until that feels good and then add more from there. So again, it's not about going from zero to 100. It's about finding opportunities to build upon. So daily movement is such an important piece because this makes up more of a caloric burn per day than your exercise can. So if you're spending way more time trying to just burn as many calories on your Apple Watch through exercise, yet you're not moving throughout the day, I would really encourage you to reprioritize those. And if that means you have to cut back on the amount of days that you're working out just to increase your daily movement, I would do that. I would highly recommend doing that because you're going to see more of an impact overall through the support of your metabolism, through your daily movement, and increasing your daily movement throughout the day. Now, if you're already getting over 10,000 steps and you have a macro count, your macro count takes into account your daily movement as well. So if you have a really high daily movement, then I'd make it a goal just to get 2,000 more steps a day. Even if you just stay at 10,000 steps, that's still going to be great. But if you're going to really try to increase that deficit, aiming for 2,000 more steps a day is a great goal to have. And for most people, 2,000 steps is about a mile. So if you can prioritize getting in a mile walk or even just prioritize getting up more throughout the day and moving around, that mile can add up very, very quickly. Next, I would focus on preserving that muscle mass. And it's not just because we want to look toned and like that's, you know, a physique. It is because scientifically, the more muscle that you have on your body, the more calories you're burning at rest. So this is why it's so important to prioritize muscle development and muscle mass, especially throughout the dieting process, because this can really help with your fat loss. Prioritizing maintaining that muscle will help you keep your BMR, which is the number of calories you just naturally burn per day, increased. And if we're losing that muscle mass, you're going to be burning less calories throughout the day, meaning that your deficit is going to start to dwindle. And either we have to pull back on your food, which we don't want that, right? Or you're going to have to increase your daily movement or something to create that deficit. So it's a lot easier to just, hey, let's just maintain our muscle mass. And we do that again through that prioritization of protein, but also through strength training. And this is why I really, really encourage anybody and everybody to strength train, even if it's 3 days a week, even if it's 20 minutes a day, get in strength training because your muscle is going to help with longevity, which is really the ultimate thing in life. And yes, everything else that comes with that is a benefit, but really study after study after study shows that those who do prioritize muscle age more gracefully. They are able to prevent injury throughout all of their aging. So it's really important that we're prioritizing our muscle. But for this in particular, it's important that we are prioritizing strength training to preserve that muscle so that that's helping with our deficit. We want to maintain that muscle mass. We want to make sure that we are strictly targeting that body fat. The other thing is that I would hydrate about 80 to 100 ounces of water per day. If you really struggle with hydrating, aim for half your body weight in ounces per day, and then slowly start to build from there. Now, hydration is so critical because what happens is as your body is ridding fat, those fat cells, they're going to be excreted through your urine. So if you are not hydrating, you're not going to be excreting those. Plus, hydration is so key for so many factors within the body, processes within the body, that if you're not properly hydrating, your body uses energy and takes that energy to help support these different processes. So we want to make sure that we are constantly hydrating. So aiming for anywhere from 80 to 100 ounces is a really great goal. If you're getting above that, amazing, but 80 to 100 ounces is a really great goal. This one, this is more of a personal preference. Personally, if I had access to a sauna, which I highly miss right now during pregnancy, I would do a sauna session 20 to 30 minutes, maybe 1 to 2 times a week. And this just helps to kind of, you know, detoxify and rid the body of some of those toxins, some of that water too, but make sure that you're hydrating on top of that. So this is just something that I preferably like to do, is incorporate, you know, a 20 to 30 minute sauna session 1 to 2 times per week. And I do this all the time, but really in a fat loss phase, I think that it's really helped me personally. And then the last thing I want to say here is that none of these things start with restriction, right? It's not about eating as little as possible. It's also not about being 100% perfect. And we talked about that like 90-10 rule. Well, like that 10%, that's where I'll go have my croissant on a Sunday morning. That's where I'll go, you know, have ice cream. And it is not about being perfect. It is about overall consistency. It is about planning ahead and prepping for yourself and also making sure that you are eating an appropriate amount for your body, metabolism, hormones, gut, longevity. So notice how none of what we talked about today is about restriction, is about cutting out specific things from your diet or your lifestyle. It is about supporting your nutrition plan with lifestyle habits that are going to support the results that you want long term. So where can you get started today? Today, if I wanted to, you know, if you're listening and you're like, all right, I'm ready to do this. You know, it's April. Let's get this party started. Number one thing I would do is just start to track your eating habits without changing anything. This is just to get a good baseline. So whether or not you're tracking macros or not, just start to track and start to understand. This will help you understand, you know, how many grams of protein am I eating per day? What are my carbs and fat? Where are my grams for carbs and fat kind of falling just naturally? For some people, maybe it's really consistent. For others, and this is very, very common, you'll notice that some days you're barely eating and then other days you're overeating. And oftentimes this comes with busy weeks and then weekends. And so it's really important to start to notice these patterns without judgment. It's just to set this baseline to get a good understanding and to build this knowledge and awareness of your eating habits. And then from there, I recommend getting a custom macro count or a plan or really understanding how to do it yourself, which I offer inside my Macro Body Method course. Finding an appropriate customized plan for you, not looking at, I've said this so many times before, the online macro calculators, even MyFitnessPal, the macro calculators in there, you guys, they're not taking into account your dieting history, any pre-existing conditions, your preferences, your actual lifestyle habits. They're asking just a couple questions and they're spitting out a generic number. This will just lead you to spinning your wheels over and over and over again. And I challenge you, if you do want to do an online macro calculator, do 5 different macro calculators, you're going to get 5 different answers. So I highly recommend really going to a professional to get a customized macro count, macro plan. I do offer those. I'll link those down in the description as well. But I would get a customized macro plan so that you can then understand, okay, this is exactly what my body needs to not only look its best, but feel its best too. And then from there, start to really plan accordingly and, you know, do those pre-logging techniques that I talked about earlier in terms of plan your day out in your food tracking app. Or if you're not tracking, that's okay too. You can take an approach that's just focusing on overall protein and then overall calories as well. So there's so many different ways that you can go about this. Again, macros are just one tool. I talk about many, many, many different tools, and I share all of these inside the Macro Body Method. So that course is not just for those who are looking to track accurately with macros. There are a bunch of different options as well and tools that you can use on your journey. But the next thing I would do is, if it really comes down to accountability and support, and you feel like, oh, I just need that like community or support, find yourself a coach or guidance or a program. You know, hire somebody to help be that accountability partner for you, or to join a group of like-minded women who are going to encourage you and support you and, you know, help you along the way. It's really important that we have community, because more often than not, it's really easy for us to kind of forget day in and day out what we are prioritizing for ourselves, and we'll start to prioritize other things or kind of sweep things to the side. So if you can find an accountability group or a coach, that is going to be so helpful for so many of us in terms of really continuously day over day over day prioritizing our health and our goals to achieve that overall outcome. Now, I do have so many different programs. I have the Macro Accelerator if you're looking for one-on-one, my coaching course if you're looking to really like dive in and do it yourself. So many options there. But there's so many amazing resources out there, coaches out there that you can really leverage. And I highly recommend that if you do struggle with accountability, your health is going to be your number one ROI. It is the best return on investment you can ever make. And so whenever I have somebody not sure if they want to invest in their health, yet, you know, we'll go and invest in online shopping and things like that, that's instant gratification. And when it comes to your health, it's about thinking long-term. It's about thinking for your family. It's about thinking for you, you know, how long do you want to be here and how do you want to feel later in life? And so your health is the best return on investment that you can make. And I always like to tell people that, because I think we can forget that oftentimes and we can kind of put our health on the back burner, but it is the best investment that you can make in yourself and for everyone around you as well. The other thing I would do, again, is just start to increase your daily movement. You can do that starting today. You don't have to go from 0 to 100. You can start small and just slowly build. And maybe that's, you know, you're glued to your computer from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. and you don't really get up except maybe for the 2 times you go to the bathroom and grab a snack. Get up more from your desk and just like do a little lap. Walk to the bathroom more and wash your hands. Just something to get you up and moving a little bit more. Park further away at the grocery store. Instead of doing grocery delivery, which, okay, I'm guilty of that. But instead of doing grocery delivery, maybe go to the grocery store. Helps you get in some more steps. Find ways that just make it easy for you to get in more daily movement. It doesn't have to be a planned walk. It doesn't have to be a class. It can literally just be, all right, you know, every hour, I'm just going to get up, do a quick lap. I'll be right back. So increasing your daily movement in any way that you can is really going to start helping today. And then setting yourself up for success with a plan, making sure that you're planning ahead of time. You're really focusing on that nutrition periodization. You're blocking off time on your calendar for you. If that helps you, that really helps me. I put blocks on my calendar for times that I'm going to the gym. I plan it out at the start of the week. I'm like, okay, these are the days I'm going to go to the gym. These are the times I'm going to go to the gym. Doesn't always work out the way that I hoped, but I always try to plan and prioritize that for me. That's something that just works for me. But blocking off time for you, laying out your workout clothes the night before to make it easier for you if you're working out in the morning, prepping simple meals that you can easily take with you on the go to work, or even just like prepping your proteins. This is what I do because I'm not a huge meal prepper, but I will prep my proteins early on in the week that I can easily just toss into meals. Or I'll just, you know, buy things like rotisserie chicken and things like that that I can toss into meals very simply. So make it easy on yourself. Set yourself up for success in ways that feel very sustainable for you, and take the work out of it in the moment, because it's in the moment when we can easily talk ourselves out of things, right? So finding ways to just make it a little bit easier on yourself, even if that means taking 5, 10, 15 minutes one day to just prep things and get things ready and planned for you. So this is a little bit of a big one, but to kind of recap everything that we talked about today, we talked about the difference between weight loss and fat loss. And if you want to learn a little bit more about this, I have an entire episode strictly on this from very, very early on in my podcast. We talked about the difference between fat loss and then what sustainable fat loss looks like. So sustainable fat loss is going to look like a half a pound to a pound and a half per week, looking at weekly average weight. So looking at weekly average weight week over week, while also using measurements and photos. Those are going to be key. And then we talked about why I don't recommend those crash diets and how a lot of those crash diets really come down to marketing. And more often than not, if you have done one, you might have experienced the weight come right back. And here we are trying to break this yo-yo dieting cycle, right? And that's what we're doing here. So I don't recommend those crash diets leading into summer. I do recommend actually putting in the time and effort to see those results long term. So this is the last time that you're really focusing on diving in deep and seeing that fat loss work. And then it's just maintenance from here on out. We covered the tips that I have for fat loss to see over the next couple months to look and feel your best for summer, and then where you can start today. All right, my friends, I know I threw a lot at you in this episode. I'll link everything down in the show notes for you just to make it easy so you can scroll on down there and click whatever link that you're looking for, whether that's the free macro quiz to help you understand what phase that you should be in right now, my free training if you haven't taken it already. This is going to just be that cherry on top and really help set you up for success. Dives even deeper than I've gotten to dive into in this episode. And if you have any questions, hit me up on Instagram. You know where to find me at Mind and My Macros. And I wish you nothing but the best leading into summer. And if you need support, I'm always here. Until next time, keep minding your wellness. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. I love hearing from you. So shoot me a DM over on Instagram at Mindin' My Macros to keep the convo going. If you've learned anything from this episode or any of my past episodes, I'd really love it if you took a few seconds to leave a quick rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I love hearing what you've learned or what you've taken away from any of these episodes. It means so much to me when you do that. And if you have any friends you know that need a little help kicking some old dieting mentalities to the curb and want some simple, effective, and sustainable tips to feel their best, share a link to this episode with them. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.